Okay, we're continuing. Perek Yud Zayin, page Kuf Ayin Dalet. Continuing the concept of Ratzon. And the section is called Ratzon Koyach Bilti Gvul. The yearning and the desire, the will, which is an infinite power. So, Jeanette, do we have any extra of these books? Are we... So maybe you could lend one to Sam. Okay. Page Kuf Ayin Dalet. Ein davar omed bifnei ratzon bifnei nekudas elokus. We're going to go back to that idea of nothing stands in front of a determined will, but with the subtopic, in front of the godly point. Kvar huskel lela bito enoda, we've already mentioned a few times already in this book. Ein davar ha'oimed bifnei haratzon. There's nothing that can stand in the way of a true will. Bitui zeh nemar al bechinas rava deravin. This expression is used on this level of ravan deravin, the desire of desires. Haratzon shel ratzonis. It's just the Hebrew of the Aramaic rava deravin. That's the translation. Kizoi anekuda ha'pinimis biyoser shemeal lakol. This is the deepest point than anything else, which will be explained. Amayin ze amru chazal, in a similar aspect, our rabbis say a different line. Melech poiretz legeder lasos lederech vein moichin biyodo. One of the rights of a king, a sovereign Jewish king in the land of Israel, is that the king may break down a wall of a private individual and may create a pathway through a private domain, and no one is able to protest what he does. If the king feels, in the best interest of our government, we have to, I think that's the law of eminent domain, where you just go right through, we're building a highway right through your house. Nobody can stop him. That's the rule. In other words, a king has unlimited power. Nobody can stop his power. And that's what we've said many times, that the highest level of the spheros, of the ten spheros, is the sphere of keser. The keser literally means crown. And we said in the idea of the creative process, the ten spheros are broken down into really five primary aspects. Keser is the first one. The crown, the idea of the crown means the will of a person. And the will of a person is an unstoppable will. It's an unstoppable will. And that's why the idea of the crown that's above the head, that's above even the plans, that's above any of the thinking processes involved. If there's a will, that's an unstoppable thing. And that's what he's going to continue. When a person gets to the deep down real will of himself, you are reaching the king of the universe. And in front of the king of the universe, there's no boundary that is able to prevent him being able to achieve the object of what he wants. So that's really like he's merging a mystic idea with what's going on over here. Again, we've learned it in the past, this idea that the first thing you need is the keser. That's the first step. You have to have the will. That will is, when you really have a true will, there's nothing that can stop it. So we got to realize that this is within ourselves. Being able to tap into this true will is something that everyone has within his self. A man, on the one hand, by virtue of the fact that he's a created being, he is limited and there are things that can hold him back. The physical part of the human being. When he can merit to reach that innermost point within himself, Shinakudas ha'elokus ha'shora b'libo, which is the point of godliness that rests in his heart. And when, again, when we talk about heart, Rav Miller makes a big point of this, when he brings out from the Chovos HaVavos, that whenever we use the word lev, lev is the understanding of desires, thoughts and desires that you really, not only you know, but you feel and you really want. So when we reach that godly part that's within the heart, misgala etzlo harotzen amiti, you are really revealing the truest and most honest desire that you have. And when that happens, the us, then you now are unleashing a godly force. And ein davar ami b'nei ratzon, nothing can stand in the will of that force. Ki la kodesh baruch hu ein monim klal, because there's nothing that can hold God back. So that's a point that we kind of haven't harped on a lot. But this inner desire that's coming from the deepest part of your neshama, that is the most godly part within yourself, and that is the most powerful part within yourself. And therefore, simply put, avodas Adam hi, this aspect of our service to God is eifo, lagia lematzav shenekudas haratzon hazu tia begilui. Our job is to make and reveal this point of desire. Mikan ve'elach, once you can reveal this true rava de rava, from that point on, hakol kfar yeyos me'atzmo, everything else is going to happen by itself. It will all go on automatic pilot. Because you now are working with unlimited resources. Once you tap the unlimited resource, there's nothing that can stop you from the unlimited resource. And that's, again, the verse that he quoted before. Lo'odah ma'ar chelev. It's up to the person to organize his heart, to organize his thoughts and feelings of what he truly wants. Umei Hashem me'anet lashon. And Hashem responds with the tongue. He explains. Lo'odah ma'ar chelev. What does it mean to the person are the arrangements of the heart? Kishu erech es libo megil enekudas alokus b'shevanavsho. When a person can arrange his heart and reach the godly point within his soul, Memela misgala hama, or me Hashem, hame Hashem. It now is revealed the hash from the Hashem part. Ma'ane lashon. Hashem will now be the one that will make the tongue move. Will make things happen. Hanekuda pu'ulus bo me'ati nekudas elokudas. Because now we're at the point of the godly point. And at the godly point, Hashem takes over, as it were, and now everything get accomplished. Not just on the simple level that from this point on Hashem takes over. But the depth of this is, when a person reaches the level where he reveals that this point that's operating within him is the godly point, we are now operating on the level of, and Hashem now is making it happen. It's Hashem is now being responsive and responding to what is it that you want. So that's a very important point that he is saying over here. This idea of wanting to be extremely spiritual, to which we are saying in our minds, we're resisting and saying it's not possible, it's too hard, to think, we're coming back, it's too hard to spend an hour a night focusing on the purpose of life. It's too hard to spend 7 hours one weeknight on going over a comprehensive overview of one's life. And this is the resistance we are all feeling. The reason is obvious, because we have not revealed the true Ratzon within ourselves. We haven't revealed it yet. Because if you revealed it yet, then you would really want it, and you'd get to the innermost point of what you really want. And it's like you're looking for oil. You're drilling for oil. Right? You can drill and drill, but if you don't drill deep enough, you get no oil. And there's tons of oil reserves there. Once you hit black gold, right, then boom, it just comes gushing out. And that's what we have not yet been able to achieve. The point of hitting that point center of our spiritual being. Because when that happens, everything's going to come gushing out. It's a power that's beyond belief. So we're at this point where our minds are struggling, or maybe some of our minds are not struggling, that this is what you want, but you're not at the level of really, really wanting. And because we're not used to wanting. We're not used to wanting on a regular basis. But when you get to the point of really, really wanting this thing, and you will be able to touch into the Rava, the Rava, then when you get to the Rava, the Rava, the wants of the wants, then when Hashem is opened up, that level of souls opened up, there's nothing that can stop what it was godly things to want. And say, I can't physically for 1 hour meditate on my life. You'll see that you can. This is tapping into deeper elements, and this is how the Eastern religions, how do you get to sit on a bed of nails and all these things? You've got to tap into something that's deeper, that's beyond the physical constraints of the body. And that's what the Goyim are understanding, that unfortunately the Yidden are still struggling with this idea. There's a reason why they get beyond the physical limitations that exist, and the mind is an incredibly powerful thing. And they're doing this without Hashem. Can you imagine how much you could do with Hashem? So, I mean, it is possible to sit on a bed of nails. People do it. You could do it. I'm sure that guy who does it didn't do it in a half an hour. And he spent years working on cultivating the reality of living in the reality of the mind, and not in the reality of anywhere else. So a Yid should certainly be able to do that. And once that opens up, then sit for an hour is not an impossible thing. And then all of a sudden, all the things that don't normally happen, the fact you could live with an hour less of sleep, you can do that too. Once the Ratzon is opened, why can't you live with 1 hour less of sleep? If Hashem is the one giving you the koyach, you can do that. And it's really possible. But at this point, yet we don't want it. Don't really want it. We're saying we want it, and we're interested in, you know, maybe that's the only thing the rabbi's learning, so I don't have a choice. I want to learn, and that's the only thing he's teaching. So, but to appreciate that this is truly accessible. And once it's accessible, there's an unlimited potential that's coming out. And to the degree that you can do this is the degree that all kinds of things can happen. You know, and that's what he's calling the Rava to Rava. So we keep coming back to Shal Shudas. You keep coming back to Shal Shudas. You know, where are you gonna find the Rava to Rava if not at the time of Rava to Rava? Right? You gotta synchronize, you know, what you're looking for in the time that it's easier to find it. And that's why if Shal Shudas is the time of Rava to Rava, that means that's the time where you can find yourself. And again, so that's why the tzaddikim had Shal Shudas in the dark, because in the dark you're getting rid of the external things that are telling you can't, and you dig more into yourself, and that's the hour of Shal Shudas. Is mamish the hour of Shal Shudas? You know, a real proper hour of Shal Shudas, you know, not with the schmoozing and the talking and that. I'm not against schmoozing and talking, but I'm saying 1 hour of really meditating on a niggun for an hour and getting lost in that niggun for an hour. You know, you could do that. And then maybe you could have better luck in determining what you really want in life. So that's part of what the Shal Shudas is trying to provide for us. Yes, sir.
There's a
speaker from Rodeo. The Rodeo speaker would like to say something.
We already determined that at birth, pretty much what Hashem has decided already, pretty much what should be our way of life in our life, generally speaking, and that if somebody wants to become a chassid or a rabbi, he's not meant to be. He wants. Doesn't matter how much he studies, how much. That's what we decided. We said that.
Did we?
We no, said that. Not everybody is meant to be a rabbi. Right. You said it. You said it.
A rabbi, but everybody's meant to be a tzaddik.
Yeah, tzaddik, but a rabbi. So let's say a rabbi. So suddenly,
rabbi is just someone who is teaching you Torah. That's all.
Okay.
But a chassid, nobody said you can't be a chassid.
Be the biggest tzaddik there is, but I cannot be a rabbi.
Okay, let's say. Go ahead. Depends how you're defining a rabbi now. How are you defining a rabbi?
But let me ask you, rabbi, because you said not all of us can become rabbis.
Okay, so rabbi, someone who gets up and spends his whole day teaching Torah. Okay. Not everybody here is meant to teach Torah to everybody.
because there are limitations to our capabilities.
There are limitations to certain capabilities. Hakol bidei shamayim chutz miyira shamayim. Everything is in the hands of God except for the fear of God. And the fear of God means how frum is your mind. How close are you attached to God? That's Yira Shamayim. Yira Shamayim means how much you can sense God lives in your life. Right. And that, there's no limitation. Okay. There's no limitation. You can be limited as to how high of an IQ you have and how sharp you can be in learning Gemara and how many pages you can learn in Gemara more than the next guy. There are certain limitations. That is true. There are some people who will be gifted with unique and brilliant minds. Not everybody will have a brilliant mind with a photograph of memory. Not everyone will have the talent to be able to pass on Torah to hundreds of people. Correct. But everybody has an unlimited potential of feeling close to Hashem and living with Hashem. That we never. That I stand by that. I've never said different than that.
Right. This opens, however, unlimited powers, as you just said before, which means that you can bypass all of these limitations and go above them if you tap into this unlimited connection to Hashem and vision of Hashem, or whatever you want to call it. Then you can go beyond anything you even if your life was mapped out in a certain way. You can go beyond that. Is that possible?
You wouldn't want to do that because Hashem didn't necessarily design you to accomplish this goal. Remember, everybody has a goal in life. Everybody has their own unique goal in life that God has set forth for them that they're capable of. That goal will be within the realm of what they are naturally capable of doing. The tragedy of life is that very few of us reach the full capacity of that range of talent that God gave us. And that's the unlimited part. The unlimited part is, you know, whatever you were meant to be, that you can achieve it in an unlimited way. But not what you're not meant to be. You know, and you're not gonna get up and all of a sudden if the person doesn't have certain skills that God, you know, God doesn't want you to go in this way. He wants you to go in a different way. You will be unlimited in the way that He wants you to go. So, you know, you will be the frum balabas. You know, the frum balabas is by no means a limited term. They're frum balabatim who do things in unlimited ways and they accomplish tons of things that the average balabas sells himself short. So, like I say, every person is meant to learn Kol HaTorah Kula. And I keep saying this over and over like a broken record. Every man is meant to learn Torah Kula. That is not anything great or exceptional. That's average. That's an average balabas who uses his full potential. His limited full potential. We're not talking about people being able to be experts in resolving contradictions between one place in the Talmud and another, and being able to create mountains of new Torah wisdom. I'm not talking about that. But to know everything that's in God's Torah and to be able to remember it. Every Jew can do that. And that's the simple request that God wants from every Jew. Right? Every Jew can be impeccably honest in business. Impeccably honest in business. Every Jew can have a large family if they so decides at a proper age in life. Every Jew can treat their other fellow Jew royally. Okay, these are the questions that God asks on the final exam. You know, every Jew is meant to reach that potential he's meant to reach. Don't go into areas that you're not supposed to go into. That you're looking for trouble. If your Yetzirah is saying, you know, I'd like this thing to do this in life, but that's not your overall potential. You're barking up the wrong tree. That's the story we said with the Brisker Rav, where he told the rich guy who was saying Tehillim on Yom Kippur that you're a traitor. Because you're supposed to be giving lots of money and stop saying Tehillim. So, but the point that you're right in is that in the area that God wants you to focus your talents, that area is unlimited. And you can be wildly successful in that area.
That's the will we're talking about.
That's the will. So now, no, wait. So your will is to do the will of God. That's the first will we're trying to get to. Your will is to want to get close to Hashem. You've got to have a very strong will. And when that will is at its maximum, that you really want to get close to Hashem, and you want to be, and you want to do what Hashem wants you to do, then when it comes time to doing what you need to do, you'll have unlimited ability to do what you need to do in this world. Beyond your wildest dreams. And nobody in this room has even come close to accessing it. Nobody, including myself, nobody has come close to accessing that. Because we're still working with our weak, feeble human powers. We haven't touched the godly power that's within ourselves. And that's why you can notice certain people that are doing unbelievable things. How is he able to do all this? How is he able to accomplish all this? It's because he's got Hashem is doing it for him now. Now, of course, even the little that we do ultimately comes from Hashem. But you're not going on, I don't know, in these mechanical games, they got these buttons that you press where you do have like superpower. I don't know what it's called. Turbo. I think it's called turbo. You know, like turbo power. You get this button, you get turbo power for a few minutes. We're not working on turbo power. We're working on regular power. It gets tired very quickly. It gets distracted very quickly. And we're not on to the turbo power. But, you know, you have people who could work on turbo power. And we haven't touched that yet. We haven't even begun to touch that.
So we consider these people that they have already reached that state of being so close to Hashem, and that's why they do it. They've been able to do it.
Yes.
A lot of these people are not even close to being religious. How could you say that?
Who said they're doing? Who said they're reaching their potential? Oh, those people. They're reaching their shadow of the real thing. Well, the guy who sits on the bed of nails. Guy who sits on the bed of nails. No, he was talking about the non-Jewish, just now.
I'm talking about anybody. The Jewish world. I'm not talking about
anybody. Who do you use for motive? Who should we, me and you, use for? You use Mike Tress. Oh.
Mike Tress.
You gotta read the book. Mitch, when you go in there, it's just, well, not when you go to Eretz Yisrael, you'd be too busy traveling. When you go up to the cottage for a weekend, whatever, you get the book. They called him Mike. Okay, you go, I don't know if it's in print anymore. Do we have
it? We have it.
Oh, we have it here. They called him Mike. Use that as an inspiration. He's not a rabbi, a regular guy.
He didn't have a Jewish education.
A regular businessman. Regular businessman. Or Lieutenant Birnbaum, another example. What's his name? Rabbi, all for the boss. Rabbi Yaakov Yosef Herman. Mm. Oh, I'm not gonna talk about Rosh Hashivas now. Forget about Rosh Hashivas. It's not.
They don't fit this model. They were men of determination, extreme determination.
Where did they get it from?
I recall once, and I read all three books, except for maybe All for the Boss, which I also read, but I bet you the others weren't meditating. They were involved.
You know, you know what? They don't write about these things. But I'm saying, you know.
From the book, I don't place.
Okay, the book won't talk about it. No one's going to read about these things. Nobody's going to read about these things. Not everything's written in books. This part is not interesting. And he spent these hours meditating. This, no one's going to write about that.
For sure,
what?
Would
okay, so then use him. All right, I'm just saying there's an amount you can accomplish, you know, without this turbo power, and there's a lot more you can accomplish with this turbo power. That's all we're saying over here. But I'm saying you want role models of how people can be incredibly beyond what's normal to be expected of people. There's plenty of those people out there. You know, even on the simple level, you got to read between the lines a lot of these things. The simple milkman that knew all of Shas. You know, you read these two, three page stories. This is unbelievable people who are able to go beyond.
Because
he was taught, he learned this stuff.
Yeah, okay, he was good. He knew everything. He knew the Shabbat. Okay, that's great. How did he become a better milkman, or what did he do?
That's the whole point. The point was the milkman. That he wasn't the best milkman in the world. He was a person that was constantly connected to God while he was a milkman.
So the milkman part is unimportant, really.
No, to teach every milkman in the world. that you can be close to God.
When did he do that?
Yes. There were stories. You always hear him schmoozing in Torah with this. He'd come late with the milk because he was involved in a Dvar Torah with somebody. It's like, and you know, when he gave you the milk, he gave it to you with so much love and care. You know, it's unbelievable. That's the idea where the famous Gemara says that when you come to the next world and God's going to call the rich man, the poor man, and the person with the tremendous Yetzer Hara to judgment. Why didn't you learn more Torah? And they're all going to come up with excuses, and then God's going to give you three role models of people who were no better than you, and they excelled in Torah, notwithstanding that they were wealthy, poor, and had big Yetzer Haras. And there's other excuses. Now, that's only three. Now, there's much more excuses than those three excuses. You can have all kinds of excuses. Then there'll be the one that will call all the Baal Tshuvas to task. Why you didn't learn more and all these things. Because you'll see other Baal Tshuvas are able to accomplish more. Whoever you're going to give an excuse for, God will find someone exactly in your predicament to show you. But he accomplished it. Because what do you want? I was 70 years old when I found out about Hashem. So Hashem said, I'll show you this 70-year-old guy and show you what he did. And why didn't you do what he did? And there'll always be somebody that will call the rest of the world to task for what they could have accomplished. So that all we're saying now, and if you don't connect on this deeper level, you can accomplish a lot also. I'm not saying you can't. All I'm saying is if you reach this level, you can accomplish so much more.
Have yet.
Because we've only been working on this for 6 months. What do you want? This is something that takes a few years. It takes a few years. So give it a little time. Don't get discouraged. I hope that at least over 6 months, many of us are at least thinking about this more often. Okay, are you thinking about this more often? Through the whole day, you know, in a whole week, you don't think about it at random times throughout the day? I would be hoping that you are. So if you're so that's already miles ahead of where you were 6 months ago. You know, go back 6 months. Did you once think about these ideas in a real way? Really? Serious? I want to be close to you. You haven't thought about it at all. Okay, so now you think about it, whatever, 4 times a week, whatever, you know, during the day, you think about it. When you're in the car, you think about it once in a while, you remember, yeah, you know, the rabbi did, so let me talk to the car a little bit, let me talk to Hashem in the car a little bit, you know, when I go shopping, let me talk to Hashem a little bit, you know, so you're already ahead, so there's 10 volumes to this book, okay. So, you know, give it time. So we only started since Sukkot, no? Was my memory good or not? When did we start the first volume? Or was it in the summertime? Does anybody know? I think we started Sukkot. What?
It was last year before Sukkot.
Just before September?
It was last year.
Okay, so September. Okay, so it's 8 months. So give it time. Don't get depressed. You have to keep digging. We're digging. That's all. Okay, yes, ma'am. The story of the Rambam.
From what I read, apparently the Rambam was born without the Kishronos, without tremendous Kishronos. The story is that he went to the shul one night, poured his heart out to Hashem, cried his heart out, and woke up with a different mind. Woke up, everything made sense. And, yeah, there was a light, and everything made sense.
Okay. I would imagine, listen, no human being could have done what he did. It's impossible to have done what he did, the Rambam. It's impossible for him to write as many Sforim as he wrote in such a way while being the full-time doctor. We showed it in the little movie.
He did it before he was a doctor.
Not all, yeah, better. On the run from the Crusades, you know.
He didn't learn when he was a doctor.
But he still did other things.
Not the same amount.
He accomplished unbelievable. And just to be able to see all the people he saw. What he did in one lifetime is beyond my understanding. How you can accomplish what he accomplished. This was a life of total non-calm in his life. Never any calm in his life. And to be able to write what he wrote, which is just the brilliance and so much that he wrote and so much other things he accomplished. Forget about all the other accomplishments, how he changed the Yiddishkeit in, 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 in Egypt and these things. It's unbelievable what he was able to accomplish in life. So clearly that's the kind of person who had godly help. Nobody could accomplish these things. So I'm telling you, we're eminently capable of this. There's so many stories. I don't want to talk about rabbis because people get upset. You know, they're not going to be a rabbi. But there's so many. There's just so many that it's possible. And you have to look to be inspired by that. Read All for the Boss. That's the best one. Read All for the Boss, Rabbi Yaakov Yosef Herman, to see what he was able to accomplish in his lifetime. And that might be the one you can most closely relate to, even though he lived already 100 years ago. But it's a good example. Okay, Kuf Ayin Hey. And now we will understand a very interesting concept based on this. Talmidei Chachamim Ein Lahem Menucha. Torah scholars have no rest. How is it possible for a person to arouse within himself and to reach this essential point of the soul that is the inner point of desire? How are we going to reach this? So he brings us a chazal. Rabbinical scholars have no rest, not in this world, not in the world to come. No rest. See, this already goes against the whole grain of this world's mentality, which, you know, the idea of rest, relaxation, and, you know, it's just not an existent concept in the truest sense. Shenemar, and as a proof to this, Gemara tells us, the Pasuk says, Yelchu mechayel el choyel yira el elokim b'tzion. They go from strength to strength, seeing God in Zion. So what's the point here? Nekudazu, this point, a Torah scholar constantly is moving and has no rest. Reveals to us the essence and the shape of the innermost point of the soul. Now, and he's not even going to say the obvious that the Talmud scholar goes with very little sleep, and they're constantly moving. That's obvious, but he's going much deeper than that. But that's a simple Ein La Menucha. This makes sense again. Remember, once you're on the godly track, you don't need to sleep very much because there's a different power you're running on a different power. So obviously, just on a simple level, you'll accomplish more because you have more time and more focus. But beyond that, Ein La Menucha, they have no rest. Perusha, what does that mean? It's a very subtle point here, but an important one. Hanefesh Shorash of Elokus. The soul is rooted in godliness, Be'ein Sof, with the infinite. V'kol Hasman Kmeha, and it's always yearning. Mishtokekas V'rotza L'Iskalol V'Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's yearning and wants to incorporate itself within God. Va'ad She'ein Hiskalos Gemur, and until you've reached the full incorporation, Ein L'Menucha, there's no rest. In other words, the person wants to be submerged within with his totality should be submerged within the greatness of God. To be bonded with the greatness of God. But since God has no end, therefore the tzaddik will have no rest in his life, because there's really no end to how much of this godliness he can incorporate within himself. You need to use a different image beyond the two or three dimensional understanding of this. But you know, you're trying to get close to God. You're wanting to get yourself within the godly zone. But that godly zone is an unlimited zone, and you will expand further into that areas of the zone as more effort becomes a realization. So if you want to bond with God, but God's unlimited. So then if he's unlimited, then you, no matter where you go, there's more to go. And you're never going to reach the end of how close you can get. That's once you're getting into the God zone. Therefore, there's no such idea as rest. Rest means I finished the job. So you can never finish the job. Again, that shouldn't depress you. That should be a happy thought. In other words, you know, how much godliness do I have in myself? Whatever figure you can give. Whatever the figure is, there can always be more. And that's something that you want, and you're enjoying it. So you keep moving on for more. But this isn't as the same as the fellow has 100, wants 200, and therefore feels bad that he's missing 200, right? Or, you know, or what he's getting, you know, what he's getting is just non-reality. So he's getting non-reality, he's looking for more non-reality. Here, when you're coming to Hashem, you're getting reality. So the desire for more and more reality is a very pleasant experience to be on such a track where you're satisfied with the reality that you're at, but you know there's more and you want to get more of that reality. Therefore, there's no rest. Yeshkan alich vod alich, there's movement and movement and movement. Hiskarvus udvekus v'kutshibricho she'en nigmeres le'olam. A closeness and attachment to Hashem that never is finished. Once you're in that godly track, there's an unlimited pleasure of being able to move further and further in this godly realm and never come to the end. That's why they have no rest. There is no rest because it's not, oh, I finished. I finished what I have to do in life and it's finished. No, there's always more to find. So, k'nei l'oras ha'ratzon amiti, in order to arouse that truest desire, ala adam l'galos b'nafsho es tzur machtzavto, the person has to reveal in his soul the stone from which he is hewn from. Kishanefesh yodas es mahus apnis, when the soul knows the inner essence, shishorasha b'lokis, that it's rooted in godliness, being sof with the infinite, misarba rasan amiti lachzer l'makaro, then is aroused the true desire to reach his roots, to return to his roots. Memela, therefore, zeh ratzon shein lo gvul, that's a desire that has no limitation. Kikivin shenakudas heiskadnus hi bilti gvulis, since the point of moving forward is not limited, memela ratzon bilti gvul, therefore the will is unlimited. Ratzon shebakoch elishbos kol mechitzos, his desire is to break through all barriers. And that's what you're able to feel and want when you're in there. You say, I want to go as far as I can. So that's a want, and that want just pushes you to keep going and going and going without ever stopping. Kolzman, on the other hand, Sheshivas Adam Mugbelas and Kudas Misyemas, when a person's ambition is limited to a certain extent, Zeh Ratzon Shel Nivra, that's just the desire of a created being. Ratzoning Gvul, a desire with limitations. In front of such a limited desire, there's always something that will stand in the way. Because created beings have limitations before they tap into the godly source. But when the desire becomes unlimited, that's a desire that's rooted in the point of the infinite root in their soul. And in front of such a desire, there's nothing that holds you back. And therefore, you just keep moving, and you keep moving, and you see, there's nothing holding you back, so you don't stop. You just keep moving. Therefore, the service of a person is that his desire should be an unlimited desire. Okay. But when you look at this superficially, so we say that's beyond what I can comprehend. How can I say that my desire is unlimited? I know myself. I'm not unlimited. So, you know, I can't accept that this is what I can be. So, Kuvayin Vav. Just finish this section here. But our rabbis did tell us the following. The Torah says, Kedoshim Tiyu. Right? You should be holy, ki kodosh ani, because I am holy. So the Medrash comments, yochol kamoini, you think you could be like me, God says? You could be holy like me? Talmud Leimar comes to Pasuk to say, ki kodosh ani, because I am the holy one. Kudosh yisi lamal mi kudosh chosem. My holiness is beyond your holiness. So now you gotta look at that statement. That's a kind of weird chazal. Kedoshim too, you should be holy, because I am holy. So where's this idea? You might think you have to be as holy as me? No, I'm holier than you. So now, what do we remain with such a chazal? So, even though at the end of the statement, the concept of you might think you could be like me has pushed aside that no, you cannot be like me. But, why would the rabbis give us what you would be thinking and not give us the final conclusion? But if the rabbis had such a salka daitach, meaning a first thought, that we're able to even think that way, Yochel Kamoni, you might think you could be like me. Perish Hador, what does that mean? I mean, why would you ever think that way? Because there must be Shishmakam Benefesh Shemargish Asayochel, as I said, there must be a point in the soul that feels that I'm able to do this. You remember, you can't think of anything that you can't possibly have any relationship to. If there wouldn't be a place in the soul that there is this kind of concept that maybe I could be like God, then it's impossible to write this in the words of the rabbis. The chachma with wisdom, with the pouring out of the development of the soul, we couldn't write such a thought that maybe like God. In other words, you see there is within the human being such aspirations that are even beyond what you can reach, but obviously you must have some unbelievable abilities to even think that way. So which the rabbis pushed off and said, Talmud Loimer, the Torah says, no, Ki Kodeshani, I'm the ultimate holy one. My holiness is beyond your holiness. Klomar, what does he mean to say? Basar Nivra, when you're talking about a created being, Liolam Adam Yishar Mugbal, person always remains in a limited state. Avo mitzad ha-yochol kamoini. But that aspect of the human being that could think that maybe you think you could be like me. So what does that mean? What does it mean to think that you can be like God? There's got to be some part of you that really has an honest attempt at that. So benevish kol yoch v'yochin in the soul of each and every individual Jew, tamen koyach shel shiva v'timikos, there is buried in this yearning that is unlimited. There's an unlimited desire, although that unlimited desire will still be limited to the extent that you cannot be like Hashem. But the yochol kamoni part still lives within the person. So that's what we have to look now as a long-term objective. In this ratzon is to develop this unlimited ratzon that there's no limit to what we can accomplish, which is eminently within the nekuda, the deepest part within ourselves. Okay. Go ahead.